Scott Kindler is, well, he'll tell us who he is, but he has a great personal connection to the Carters. And, of course, with the memorial, you know, the service is still going on for the former First Lady. Amazing story, I think 77 years of marriage between the Carters. And as I said to John Decker, our own White House correspondent the other day, Jimmy Carter, I mean, all presidencies are probably challenged in some degree, but obviously not, you know, not reelected one term. But they did so much post-White House, post-presidency, in a very humble, genuine way, it seemed, over the decades. Habitat for Humanity, all kinds of giving back, and I think real role models in a day where maybe we could use some. But that's my take. Scott, you also attended the church, I believe, of the Carters. Take it away and your thoughts and a little bit about why this is hits home for you.
Well, for a couple of decades, the Carters, and specifically former President Carter, did the teaching of a Bible school class at Maranatha Baptist Church, which is the church that you're seeing right now likely on your monitors of her service. Mm-hmm. And the public was able to attend that. So I traveled to South Georgia maybe 3-4 times and attended that in that part of the state. And also through my work, I've interviewed and met the Carters a number of times. And it was interesting that after you do it for so long or so often, eventually they recognize you. And that was a nice feeling. And the Carters had a way when you were speaking with them to make you feel as though they were very interested in you as a person and what you had to say, as opposed to being passive in the way that they spoke to people, like some, you know, dignitaries often are. It's a generic thing, but the Carters had a way of making it feel personal, and that was always nice to come by. And as you mentioned, in their post-presidency efforts, Carter is often described as one of the best former presidents. The two were definitely advocates for a great many things, and they worked extensively with Habitat for Humanity building homes, and both of them, they would hammer nails and move stuff, and they were very accessible, especially if you went to Plains to something that they were attending. It was nothing for them to walk up and strike up a conversation with folks, and they really related to people on a basic and personal level.
Scott Kimbler is a national correspondent, but talking personally about Plains and Georgia and the Carters. Hey, Scott, if you don't mind just a moment or two, because I'm fascinated, and I think one reason why New Hampshire's first in the nation presidential primary does matter and should matter to DNC and Democrats, including the incumbent president, Joe Biden, is Jimmy Carter ran in New Hampshire's primary, and no one knew who the heck he was when he first started running here way back before my time. He was just known as this sort of peanut farmer from Georgia. Governor, you know, very humble, just kind of came in and, of course, went on to become president. Not easy to do. The Carters emitted this, like you just said, they come up to anyone in the community and talk with you, make you feel like, you know, you matter, you're important, which is a genuine gift. But they came across as very humble, real people. But yet, obviously, the Carters, you know, from a business point of view in the past, a little more successful than maybe they broadcast. But they really maintain this humble persona through the decades.
Yeah, that was an interesting position that they were in. Of course, he was influential in, you know, meeting people in the New Hampshire primary, as you mentioned. And their son, Chip, mentioned yesterday that the mother, or Mrs. Carter, because she was able to run the, you know, the family business, the Carter Warehouse, which is a peanut industry, then when the campaign trail started, back in the 70s, she was able to go and talk to the people of New Hampshire and then the people of Iowa before the caucuses and speak to them in a language that they understood, specifically speaking to the working class people and the people that work in the agrarian industries. She spoke their language. She understood what futures were, and she understood the language of the farmers of the U.S. And at the time in the 70s, that really resonated because agriculture was big, big business, both in, you know, your state, Iowa, and in my state of Georgia. Agriculture was king at that time. We're now at industry and technology to a large degree. But she was able to speak that language with the common people. And while he was officially giving his campaign speeches, she was shaking hands and really talking shop with common folks.
Of course, the other thing is people may not remember, but Jimmy Carter had been in the Navy, naval officer. And real quickly, though, you know, if you look up, I'm not saying they were, you know, they were not wealthy in many respects. And they, you know, the net worth, but they weren't gazillionaires in today's day and age. And they just seem to maintain a very humble post-presidency view. And I think it's refreshing. I think they were a tremendous couple. What, 77 years of marriage?
Yeah, it's a very long time.
Scott, thank you. And by the way, real quickly, I've never been to Plains, Georgia. I've been through Georgia. Roughly, how big of a community is it, roughly?
The city of Plains is roughly a population of about 2,000. So, and I think that whole county, I believe, is less than 10. So if you were able to picture where the couple from the American Gothic painting came from, it would be a town like Plains.
Interesting. Scott, thanks for the time on the personal side. Great reflections. Thank you, sir.
You bet. Thank you for having me.